The day I was born. I remember many details about the days my sons came into the world, but very little about my own birthday, partly because I was a newborn baby, and partly because my mother was always a little coy about how the birth went down. When people celebrate birthdays, I like to have them describe the day they were born. Sometimes it's fun to see if the birth matches the personality. Does a big baby turn into a big adult? Does a baby born at home turn into a homebody? Does a baby born on New Year's Eve end up being a real party monster? I was born September 16, 1971, in Newton, Massachusetts. The most popular song at the time was "Joy to the World" by Three Dog Night. All in the Family had been on for less than a year, Evel Knievel had just set a world record jumping over 19 cars, and Disney World would open a month later. My mother was 23 years old, and my father was 24, and they had been married for a short 11 months. Mom wore yarn in her hair and claims she doesn't remember a thing about labor. Back then, there was this wonderful thing called twilight sleep, where women were given anesthesia at the onset of labor and woke up with a baby. Today, twilight sleep is when you pass out on your bed while looking at paparazzi photos of Robert Pattinson eating an omelet. I always pictured my mom in a deep sleep, her beautiful, thick hair that I didn't inherit, spread out like a fan on the pillow. The Best of Bread played on the radio while some doctor pulled me out using groovy 70s fondue forks. I figure now would be a good time to ask her how that day went down. Mom, is that how it went down? Did I get it right?
Oh, Amy. It was 1971, the age of almost unnatural childbirth. I had no childbirth education classes, no prenatal diagnostic tests, no ultrasound. I started labor, and Dad took me to the hospital. He went home to await the birth at Nana and Gunka's house. There was no push to include fathers in the delivery room at the time, so that didn't feel strange. I didn't feel afraid. My contraction stalled, so they had to break my water. Things moved fast from then on. I remember the pain, being administered a saddle block anesthetic, and then helpful nurses and my doctor encouraging me at the moment of birth. You were slight in weight, but unusually long, making for an easy delivery. I was thrilled to have a daughter. My mother had modeled so successfully how to bring up daughters. I can still remember that first rush of motherly pride, that assurance that my child was perfect, and then that first twinge of self-doubt. Was I ready for this job? I look like a kid in the pictures, with a long ponytail, smiling, and probably overly confident. Right after you were born, you were happily bottle-fed and then returned to the nursery, and I was given 4 days in the hospital to recuperate. It all seems so separate and sterile now, so different from today's emphasis on instant mother-child bonding. Yet I felt great, and it had all gone so smoothly. Pregnancy had been a different story. I was sick almost every day up to your birth, sometimes on the way to work. I was teaching third grade in a nearby elementary school in 1971, and the policy was that I was supposed to resign my job upon finding out I was pregnant. An understanding principal looked the other way, and I made it through the school year. Over the summer, I gave up my job in preparation for stay-at-home motherhood. There were virtually no other options available. My parents were still young and working full-time. There was no daycare facility nearby. For me, it just wasn't socially acceptable to go back to work full-time, and I had always followed the rules. I was the oldest daughter in my family, the one who was working her 9-to-5 shift at the bra department in our local store while her sister was at Woodstock. I studied, graduated, got a job, fell in love, got married, and had a baby. I left my job to take care of my daughter. That's the way things were done. That's the way all of my friends were doing it. We moved away to a not-so-neighboring town. Dad went to work every day with the car, and you and I were alone all day in unknown territory. No one knew about postpartum depression then or dared to speak its name. "Snap out of it," was the more common reply. But knowing what I know now, I am quite sure that the signs were there for me. I was often overcome with loneliness, unsure about my choices, missing my friends. Motherhood was a 24-hour-a-day, all-encompassing job. It was the hardest job I had ever had. Everything that happened to you happened to me. I had once heard children described in a novel as hostages to fortune, and certainly my happiness depended on yours. You were not a sleeping baby. You stared at me with those blue eyes at all hours of the day and night. I would walk the length and breadth of our town singing Helen Reddy's You and Me Against the World. It was the time of the burgeoning women's movement, and the National Organization for Women had just been launched, and I was curious and bewildered at the same time. Where did I belong in this new world? Moving to a new suburban town when you were 5 made all the difference. Here lived some college friends and a host of other educated women. Most of them were also at home providing full-time child care. These women and I volunteered, and you came with me. We made paths for a town walking trail, we read to kindergartners, delivered meals to shut-ins, and constructed floats for the 4th of July parade, on which you and your brother sat proudly and waved. We were busy and productive, involved in town politics and issues. It was the beginning of networking for me, a time of making connections and defining goals and career plans. You were always part of all this, watching me become my own person, motivated and ready for change.
Hey, Dad, you want to chime in?
I was thrilled to have a daughter and specifically asked the florist to put a card on the arrangement that read, "Glad it's a girl." I have never forgotten holding you as a newborn, with your whole fanny fitting in the palm of my hand. I figured I would wait for the appropriate time to describe this to you, and now seems like a nice private moment.
That's my birth story. I was small and fussy, and remain so as an adult. 3 years later, my younger brother and only sibling, Greg, was born. I remember my father dressing me to go to the hospital, and my mother commenting on how he put the wrong pants on me. I remember loving my brother instantly. He was my first friend. If your parents are still alive, call them today and ask them to describe the day you were born. Write the details down and tell the story every year on your birthday until you know it by heart.